Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, August 11th, 2017, and we were talking about him during the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and why not have him in and part of the program today? So I welcome Joey Kroll, Pastor Joey Kroll, to the Great News Radio Center, and as you know, on Fridays, Pastor Jason Schiffo joins me, so we have a full house with two biblical brains in here.
So you're a rose between two thorns today? Is that what you're saying, Mark?
Oh, it's been fun. And if you were tuned in Wednesday, you heard some shout-outs about Jason attending Joey's church this past Sunday. Circumstances allowed that. And Jason was very blessed, and we were talking about it off-air, and then we did a couple shout-outs. And so Joey's in here. We're going to have some meetings today and lunch later on, and so I appreciate him coming up to the Great News Radio Center and being a part of things today. And I said to Jason, hey, I know we're usually in the book of Exodus. Maybe we'll get there, maybe not. But I know you were preaching out of Ephesians.
Right.
How about first, give us a little update for the listeners that don't get to tune in on Thursday and get some of the updates, but you transitioned, has it been a
year? About a year,
about
coming
a
up
year.
On a year.
Wow.
I mean, you blink, and it's like a
it's
new
gone,
month,
yeah.
New year, and where did the time go? And next thing you know, you have no hair on your head, and the kids are growing up, and all that stuff. But yeah, God is doing so many wonderful things at our church.
And the church is?
Galilee Baptist Church in Decatur, and it's so amazing. You know, there's numbers growth, and that's important, don't get me wrong, but there's the individual growth. Now, that gets me excited, because we have... Right now, we have like one guy who was strung out on drugs a year ago, got a head-on collision with a semi-truck, survived, and he's now following the Lord. I'm doing some one-on-one discipleship with him. There's a young lady who was also strung out on drugs. DCFS was knocking at her door 2 years ago, and now she's serving the Lord wholeheartedly. There's another man in our church. His son been trying to have him come to church and get to know the Lord, and he said, you know, my dad will never come to church. His heart is so hard, and here he is. He's been coming faithfully, bringing in his grandkids as well. So God's doing some wonderful stuff, and it just humbles me because I get the front row seat to see what he's doing, and it's like, God, I'm not worthy, but praise God that you're doing some of this awesome, awesome stuff.
Yeah, and I was telling Mark, I was really particularly blessed, and maybe it's something that some people didn't really catch. But at the end of the service, you had two families who joined in membership.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, the second family, the testimony was, we've been coming to this church for 15 years, and we've always felt like we were a part of the church, but now we want to become members. And I looked at my wife and I said, this tells me that Joey is making it a point that being a member, a part of the body, is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people, for 15 years, that wasn't on their radar. They just thought they were a part of the church. But to hear...
That's a good point.
...that now I'm going to become a member, because now that's being made important. We need to say we're part of the family. Mm-hmm. We need to claim being part of the family, not just, you know, kind of loosely associated. So we were super blessed by that, because that was something I picked up on and said, the right things are happening
here. Right, right.
You know,
right.
Things behind the scene that are driving the things that we see.
Right. And, you know, because we post what God is doing at our church, like on Facebook and all that. And, I got a letter from a lady who just follows us, and she said, you know, I live over an hour away. I would love to come to your church if that was possible physically, because God is moving at your church. And it's just... humbles me, humbles me. God is so good and so faithful.
Yeah.
He really is. So that's the short story, Mark.
And you're feeling God's going to continue to call you to this pastorate and to serve the radio ministry.
I sure hope so.
In a variety of ways. So. And I'm also thinking, Jason, the other thing that you stated about Joey that you appreciated is that he divides God's word, he honors God's word. And Wednesday I left it mysterious, and I'll have to say it again today, but we are looking at some options in the days ahead of providing some Bible studies, some unique things here at the Great News Radio Center. And I think that's the one thing I appreciate about both of you, is holding to God's inerrant word, preaching it with boldness.
Yeah.
I think you said a few things that Joey said, you're like, he's not holding back. He's preaching right out of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I think the station stands for. Hopefully not hopefully, I trust that we'll always stand for holding up and honoring God's Word and encouraging people to read it, to study it, to look for guidance and insight and God's leading through it. And so you both do that very well. And
well, one of the things that Joey did, and I want him to talk a little bit about his message. I want to pick his brain on some things and talk to him about it because I was super blessed. Again, I took more messages. I even got it still in my Bible. And I usually clean this sucker out every day or every 2 days for sure. So we're on you know, Friday, and it's still in here from Sunday.
Wow.
So you're doing well, Joey.
Yeah, you got few, like, 3-year-old bulletins in your Bible, too. Yeah,
no,
I'm just kidding.
I don't have anything. I got a picture from my daughter, though. You were right up front there with the picture of me from my daughter. So, but one of the things you said at the tail end of your message is you said, you said, faith comes from hearing the Word of God. You quoted Scripture. But that means that we have to hear the Word of God. And there are so many people that I know who will quote that verse, but then they will not teach the Word of God. They will teach some sort of moralism. They'll dance around the Word of God, but then they'll try and tell you that your faith must come from hearing the Word of God. And what I appreciated was that you didn't try and create some other vehicle or means for somebody to hear the Word of God. You went to the Word of God. And you went verse by verse.
Right.
You went to the Word of God, and you said, "I'm going to start here, and I'm going to end here, and we're going to see what God says, and then I'm going to help shepherd you in what God says, because some of it is hard to understand, some of it needs some explanation, but I'm not going to create something else because God's already said it."
Right.
And so I really appreciated that. So you did Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in 10. What made you want to do that on that particular Sunday?
Well, I really felt that it was really the Lord, obviously. I mean, the Lord has put that on my heart. But it was so funny because I think it was that Monday, the Monday before church, you know, I'm like, okay, I think this is the Lord wants me to really share about spiritual warfare. And I'll tell you what, I think starting Sunday night, that's exactly what me, my family, and several people in our church were experiencing spiritual warfare, really the hand of Satan kind of stirring stuff up in families. I mean, there were a couple of families kind of struggling that week in particular, including our family. And it's just something that not many people talk about enough. Or there's the other side of the spectrum. They over talk about that or give Satan too much credit, you know, one spectrum to the other.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that we would sometimes ascribe to Satan, which should definitely be ascribed to our own stupidity? I mean, myself or others, well, God, the devil's at work. No, you just need to think before you open your mouth or before you do something. Yeah. You need to stop for a minute.
Or they say, I'm being persecuted. No, you were just being a jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of deserve.
Exactly. Like, if you say that, you are going to get that reaction.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Hey, you missed Wednesday's program, Joey, but Jason was reciting that don't bring the devil to church.
Oh, isn't that great?
That was really good.
That was
really
awesome.
Good.
And, you know, and that is so true, too, because in Ephesians, I think it's 4, it says, or is it 2? Somewhere in Ephesians where it talks about be angry, but sin not, and do not give a foothold to the devil. And sometimes we do give a foothold to the devil in our anger and our bitterness, and we bring that to work. We bring that to church, and we stir stuff up at business meetings and Sunday morning. I got a prayer request, you know, and you bring some gossip in because you're angry. And the devil has been welcomed in the church because
of that. Well, isn't it interesting that Ephesians 4:27 puts the onus on you? I mean, it doesn't say that this is all ascribed to Satan and his work, but it gives an onus to you by saying, give no opportunity to the devil. And then it says after that, which I really love in verse 28, let the thief no longer steal. And so it's almost like I'm part of the work that he's doing if I'm allowing him to do it.
Wow.
You know, and so therefore, I have to, like you went to Ephesians 6, finally stand firm and stand firm again. I have to stand firm or else I'm going to be a part of what he's doing. I'm going to be a parcel to his actions. And how many times is that? How many times have we allowed ourselves, I mean, I would be honest, allowed myself to be used in ways by him, by being hard-hearted, by being disrespectful, by being all different kinds of ways.
And that's why I think it says in Peter to be alert, be on guard for the schemes of the devil. He comes around as a roaring lion. We got to be alert because he is very subtle and very crafty.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. I think you quoted a stat in your sermon. You said 40% of the church says there's no devil.
Isn't that crazy?
That's really crazy, since 100% of the Bible says there is a devil. I can't wrap my that was something that we got in the car after we left church, and I said to my wife, I said, how can 40% of God's blood-bought bride called the church say that 100% of the Bible is wrong?
Isn't that true? And, you know, I was thinking about that earlier, too. And now it's from Barna. They're a pretty solid organization when it comes to that. Now, how many of that 40% are really believers in terms of studying his word, following him wholeheartedly? Are they more part-time Christians?
Well, they're not reading their Bible.
Yeah, right.
It's a pretty simple answer.
True.
They're not reading the Bible.
That is true.
Yeah.
Truth indeed.
Well, and again, faith comes from hearing the word of God. So we have to hear the word of God. And I'm a steadfast. You know, I don't like to critique other churches, and I don't like to comment on other churches, because I think that's low hanging fruit. We can fight in amongst the body of Christ if we want, but I just don't think that that's profitable. If I don't think that I can do gospel ministry with you because you're not doing gospel ministry with you, then I'm not going to. I'm just not going to. I'm going to make that decision. But I don't need to air my grievances. Like, I see some things happening kind of out there in the Christianity and the evangelical landscape. But I think that we need to proclaim the word of God. And so just share with us maybe a little bit. I'm going to pick your brain as you go. But
hey,
how about reading some
of the passage, too?
Oh, here, I'll read, and Joey, I'll be like his lay leader.
Okay.
Finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm.
That is good. And you know what? One of the things that stands out is that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. And we need to remember that our battle, our struggle is, even though we're tempted to, it's not against Congress. It's not against the politicians. It's not against the civil court judges. It's not against your spouse, your neighbor. All they are just pawns on the chessboard in this battle, this spiritual fight. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in taking that aggression or that frustration out on the person, rather than seeing, hang on, the enemy is doing something in this particular situation. And I'll tell you what, the biggest tiffs in our family are on Sunday morning, right before church. So, I mean, I know one pastor, he and his wife, they take separate cars in the morning to church.
How'd you know we did that? We do take separate cars to church. How'd you know that?
But that's something we do need to remember, that it's not against flesh and blood. It's the evil forces, the spiritual principalities, the cosmic powers in the spiritual realm.
Now, what's interesting about this is that when we think culturally, culture would say, I think at least today, that there really isn't evil. There's just misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I even think that it was interesting. The guy who did the Batman movies, Christopher Nolan, somebody asked him about, they said, well, why, when you did the second movie, didn't you go into kind of the whole background story behind the villain? And he said, because evil is just meant to be understood as evil. Because if you tell the story about how evil became evil, then you empathize with it. And you're not supposed to empathize with evil. And I thought that was really an interesting thing to say, because that's what culture wants us to do. Culture wants to take things that are evil and immoral and try and tell us a narrative that makes us feel sorry for it or feel bad for it, and not just to say that this is evil. You know, I think about, and I know your position on this because I even saw a Facebook post recently, but where abortion is concerned, there is a narrative out there that wants to make you and I feel bad for women who have made poor choices, who have done some things that maybe they shouldn't have done, or maybe been in circumstances that are out of their control, and because of that, suddenly we have to empathize with their choice to commit murder.
And you know what? Somebody did say, you know what, let's not judge somebody else's decision. It may be right in their own eyes. And, you know, one thought was, okay, so how far do you go with that?
Right.
What about that pedophile? What about that person who murdered his entire family? Do you not say, well, that we can't say anything bad about that?
Right.
Where's that line, and how far do you go? Where do you stop? in that line.
Well, the line is, I think that's why, again, we go back to that. I'm going to keep going back to what you said in your message. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. The Word of God gives us that line. Mm-hmm. But I think what happens is culture-wise, Romans 1, if Romans 1 teaches me anything, it's that man wants to continue to move that line.
Yeah.
He wants to continue to move it more towards himself and away from God, and away from God's righteousness to more to our self-righteousness. I met with a group of guys the other morning. We were talking about Romans 7. And Romans 7 says we have a choice. We can either bear fruit to God or bear fruit to death. And so we have a choice in how we want to live, in our sinfulness and our sinful desires and our flesh, which bears fruit to death, or in our desires for God, which bear fruit to righteousness and leads us to worship in Him. And so I think you're totally right. Which way do we want to go? Where do we want to go on that? But I think it's important. The Bible says that there are evil things.
That's right.
And therefore, we need to say there are evil things. There are things that you look at, and it should turn your stomach. And if it doesn't, if you drive past a place where little babies are being killed and it doesn't turn your stomach, you are hard-hearted. You are hard-hearted because I don't know anybody who's ever held a baby and said, you know, I think we just killed this guy. Mm. Everybody's gone, you know what? What a beautiful baby. What a wonderful baby. And yet somehow we can, if it's happening behind closed doors, we can rubber stamp that and say, well, you know, I mean, you just don't know their story. Hmm. No, I know the story. And the story is that inside that building, people are losing their lives who have never been even been given the opportunity to live their lives.
Is it Samuel where everyone started doing things in their own eyes?
Oh, that's the end of Judges.
That's the Judges, yeah. Judges.
The last verse, everyone did was right in their own eyes.
Yeah, kind of in those times.
No one had a king. I think the Bible has something to say about that. Right. But keep going, because it says here, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth.
Oh, you know what? If you study the Roman soldier's armor, they're talking about the breastplate of righteousness and, you know, the illustration or the picture of their armor. And everything is held together with their belt. Everything holds it all together. And this illustration here of the belt of truth. If you don't have truth, if you don't know truth, there's a major crack in your armor, then you don't have it all together. You got to know the truth. Jesus said that if you know the truth, the truth shall set you free.
That was interesting is because my son sat inside the service. My other kids went off to kids' church and that, but my son, Jacob, sat there. And when we left, that struck him because he said, you know, Dad, there's this kid in our school who always gets in trouble. And I said, really? I said, I don't know where you're going. Tell me, help me out.
Right.
He goes, Dad, his pants are hanging down. He's got these saggy pants. He goes, Dad, you know what he needs? A belt of truth. And I thought, oh, my gosh.
That's
like, he's got it. But I really do. I mean, because when we live without the truth, we'll do all kinds of other things.
And Satan is a deceiver, and he will use error to confuse us. Didn't he try to create doubt in the Garden of Eden? I mean, did God really say that? I mean, the worst type of error is when it's mixed with half-truths because it's more believable. Yeah. And that's where we need to put on that belt and study his word to find out what is truth and what is junk.
So how do you think that somebody practically does that? Because that's one of the things I wrote down, and I even asterisked. And my wife knows that if I asterisk something, that's a big deal because I want to make sure I remember that. And you said his language is lies. And so how does somebody discern that? How does somebody discern when they hear the voice of Satan? Because, again, you're saying that there's some of us are spending a far too much time giving Satan airtime that he doesn't deserve.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's just maybe our own stupidity, our own you know, whatever it is. How do we discern when we're hearing his language of lies?
Right. Well, Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. And I think that starts with our fellowship with God, our fellowship with him, but also by studying his word. I know pastors and people on this radio ministry, read your word, read your word, read your word. But we're saying, read your word, read your word, read the word of God. Because if we don't, then we're walking around with no compass. We're walking around with absolutely no direction and no way to measure what is true, what is false. We got to be in the word of God.
So then would you say, because I'm going to piggyback this with another comment that you made that I wrote down that I love. Is it then would you argue that we haven't done that? We've largely not done that. We've marginalized God's word, and we've marginalized what God teaches, because you said Satan doesn't just knock on the door anymore. He just walks in.
Walks right in.
Yeah, and I mean, so when I heard that, Joey, I was blessed because I kind of sat back in my seat and thought, that is not a plithy statement.
No.
That is a very powerful and theological statement about our own issues and problems.
Right.
You know, and how seriously we take the word of God and God himself.
Absolutely. And, you know, and a lot of us believers, I'm not going to say them Christians, but us believers, I mean, we all struggle. Sometimes we get our theology from the world, from the media, from video games. I mean, you get to see worldviews into play. But if you're not solid in what the word of God says, it is so easy to get caught up. You know, I was watching a movie one time, and I forgot what it was, but it wasn't Passion of the Christ movie. Okay. I think it was a romantic movie. And I'll tell you what, this was about 5-10 years ago, and I feel still kind of convicted by, like, why would I do that? There was a scene in there. There's a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and they were really enjoying each other's company. They were holding hands and kissing, and all of a sudden they got interrupted, and I was so let down because I was so emotionally involved in the movie. And that caused me, hang on a second, I'm getting too much attached to the worldview of this movie.
Right.
That is so easy to do.
Right. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, don't we tend to do that? And I think that goes back to that statement of evil must just be, we must view evil as just evil, because if we begin to empathize with it, we'll become emotionally attached to it in some way. Mm-hmm. And I can't be emotionally attached to wicked things. Yeah. I need to be emotionally attached to the Lord. But I really appreciate, it was funny because we do devotional, this week we started just trying to really do devotionals in our family.
Good.
Which
that's
is
awesome.
But it's really hard with four kids. I mean, it's sanctification on steroids. You know, but so, you know, we want to do devotionals with the kids, so we want to make it easy on ourselves, so we chose Hebrews. And so Hebrews said, but it was interesting to come into your message, which was really just rooted in the Word of God and really focuses the Word of God. The verse that really latched on for our family was Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, which says, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away.
Wow.
You know, and so the Bible's saying that if you will drift away, if you do not pay attention, but pay much closer attention, which means we have to really read this. We can't just read it. We have to read it.
Right.
And so it almost makes me kind of go, you know what, I don't know. Maybe I have to be careful with the read the Bible in a year plan, because that's just getting me through it. Instead of saying, I'm going to read the Bible if it takes me 5 years or 10 years,
right.
But I'm going to read it like my every bit hangs upon
right.
it. And so I just want to say, you know, oh, gosh, we're at the end of the program.
I know. I was looking at the
time. We don't want Joey to drift away either. I got meetings ahead of us.
Hey, we can go, because Joey on Sunday, the brother went like 30 minutes long.
Yeah, man, it was long.
He looked up and he goes, well, I guess since we're over, we might as well keep going over. But I loved it. But I just want to say, I mean, just really publicly, Joey, I really was blessed and really appreciated the ministry that you did there. And I was just thankful. And I really felt like, you know, one of the missions that we had as we were there was to let your people know that. And so I just want you to know that not only that, but as I went around, you know, I was just thanking people for letting us worship with them. And I said, you guys are really blessed here with Joey. And there was a bunch of the women who said, God really is blessing us through Joey. And sometimes I think as a pastor, we don't hear that.
Right.
But I want you to know that there are people in your church who are feeling God's love through what you're doing.
That's
and I was blessed just to hear that, because I felt it myself.
Yeah, and I think you even posted, if anyone's in and around the Decatur area,
not only
do you need to go to church, but here's a good church.
But here's the church you should go to.
Yeah.
Now, as you're going there, you might feel like you need to bring a sandwich, because it's kind of out there.
Yeah, in case you get lost.
No, but it was great. And the right heart, I mean, I felt like it was a family.
Oh,
that's what
that's
I felt
awesome.
Like when we were there. I said that's a family there.
Yeah, and you said even the presence of the Holy Spirit you felt. And
Totally. My wife is the one who actually said that. And I'll tell you what, my wife does not make statements like that unless she believes them. And she said, I have been in churches, Jason, that are 100 times bigger than that, 5,000 people, and not felt the Holy Spirit like I felt in that room.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, through the preaching and through the music and through the fellowship and through the, you know, amens and people who are just invested in the worship of the church. And so, you know what? I agree with you, Joey. Let's stop measuring church by size in terms of numbers, and let's start measuring church in terms of voices lifting up and worshiping
God
and thanking Him for His Son, Jesus Christ.
Hmm. And all of God's people and pastor said,
Amen!
Amen. All right, everyone, get in God's Word, get in a good Bible-believing church this Sunday, and worship this great God that we get to know and read about through His Word. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffel, Pastor Joey Kroll with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.
You won't stop by.